On a series on demonology. Last week we managed to touch on one point about authority over demons, which is when you know the name or the type of demonic power, you do have a measure of authority over them. It's a spiritual principle that when you know the name or the nature of a work of a spiritual being, that you have authority over them. And sometimes it takes a while before one finds out what a ruling demonic area is over a nation, a city, or over a personal life. And whether you like it or not, every one of us were born, although we were born in with a knowledge of God to a certain extent and a conscience, we were all born in sin. And being in sin, we have at certain points in our life as we grow, been dominated by spiritual beings of the enemy without us realizing it. And so it's important in every one of our lives to know what the ruling forces of demonic forces that are familiar with our lives are, so that we can wage a skillful war against the enemy. The Bible did tell us that we are to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And so that means that we must be aware of the wiles of the enemy. Now, it's going to be a bit-by-bit series touching on different things. So this morning, we'll just focus on one particular area, and that is the seven things that Satan is afraid of. Hoo-hoo, hallelujah. So last week, we talked about terrorizing Satan and terrorizing demon. And we need to know what the Bible says that the devil is afraid of. And many times people are afraid of the devil, and by default, in fact, most people are afraid of the devil, and it is an acquired growth in God to learn not to fear the devil, but instead to make the devil flee from you. Now, we have quoted the verse in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, that says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Greek word says, flee as in terror from you. Because the word flee is from the root word phobos, which means to be terrified. So, when you resist the devil, he is to flee in terror from you. So you can look at the one next to you and say, you are a terror to the devil. Praise the Lord. Amen. Seven things that the devil is afraid of. And let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. And see the prime way in which the devil rules over people's life. In Hebrews chapter 2. Now, it doesn't mean that we will straight away move into all these seven areas, but we need to know them so that the more you grow in them, the more you become fearless of the devil. In verse 14 and 15 in Hebrews chapter 2, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death. That is the devil. And verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now the basic rule by which the devil rules over people is by the fear of death. It can be spiritual death, physical death, by the fear of death. That means that number one, if you are not afraid of death, then you will not be afraid of the devil. Now, if you were born again, you should never be afraid of spiritual death, because the Bible did say that the gift of righteousness has been given unto us in Romans chapter 6 verse 23. And you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that's settled. We need to deal with the issue about fear of death, fear of natural death. I believe it includes natural death. That's through that the devil rules over people. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12, another scripture here. In talking about the devil when he came down to the planet Earth in verse 11. Revelation 12 verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So they were not afraid of dying. That's principle number one. In order not to be afraid of the devil and demons, you must not be afraid to die. If you were born again, death is not an end. Death is a transition from the natural life into the other spiritual life. In the spiritual plane. In a sense, we already have spiritual life. So we could say, from the natural plane of existence into the spiritual plane of existence. For a Christian, death should be graduation day. That's the day that you leave this filthy, dirty, stinky, horrifying planet into the plane of God, into the realm of Jesus Christ. So death is not something we should be afraid of. Now, we naturally, before we came to know the Lord, there is a fear of death. But once we come to know the Lord, we need to overcome the fear of death. Why are people afraid of dying? Maybe because, you know, they still want to enjoy the things of this life, or, you know, of course their loved ones will miss them and all those things. But if you live only for God and your life is dedicated to God, and if God becomes your supreme first love, death is nothing. Look at the people in the Bible. They're not afraid of death. Paul, when he was on his way to Jerusalem after his three missionary journey, and as he was going forth to Jerusalem, knowing that he may die, knowing that he will be in prison, all the saints of God came to him and they were weeping and crying. And in the book of Acts, he tells them that he's prepared to die for the Lord. Look at the book of Acts. When they were trying to prevent him from going, he says in Acts 21, verse 13, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Only when a person is willing to die for what they believe, can the person live for what they believe. Think about that. Only when what you believe is worth dying for, can it be powerful enough to change the world, to change your life. In other words, to truly live the life of destiny. We're not talking about living mediocre lives, where most of the people, like Jesus said, the Gentiles of the world seek after food, clothing, shelter, and some pocket money, some enjoyment, some little bit of fun here and there, and that's all they live for. That's mediocre life, whether you live in high luxury, in high society, or in the low areas of the back streets, you know, looking for your next high, it is still a mediocre life. It has no impact in the spiritual world. It doesn't change the people around you. It doesn't change society. It doesn't change nation. Our life is a gift from God. And the only way to live our life... See, God wants to raise every one of us as champions of God. He doesn't want to have just one or two giants of the faith. Every single believer has a destiny. Like that song says, "I have a destiny, I know I shall fulfill." Everyone of us have a destiny. Look at the book of Isaiah. Although the prophecy is to Israel in type, it is also, I believe, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, and chapter 60, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. It says, "A little one shall become a nation, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time." So even the smallest part of the believer, or smallest part of the body of Christ, is a champion in God. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, you can find that Jesus has made us kings and priests. Think about it. The smallest member of the body of Christ is a king and a priest in God. That's something in God. If you are a king or queen, you have a kingdom to rule and reign over. And the first area to have authority over Satan is to somehow settle in your heart that you're not afraid to die. Well, today's Anzac Day, they're talking about, you know, soldiers who have given their lives for God and all that. You know, sometimes when you read history of wars and battles that people fought, the battles are sometimes won by not just by the number of soldiers, but it has to be by a strategy. It also has to be won when the soldiers have high morale. So sometimes you can have a small army beating a big army. And among those other factors like a better strategy, better high morale, is a defining moment when every soldier is prepared to fight to death. You can have 1,000 people fighting against 300 people. But the 1,000 soldiers with the best armor as they go out to fight, everyone is afraid to die. But you come across 300 soldiers who have sworn themselves unto death for their cause, and they are willing to die. Think about the difference in fighting. It will be different. I wouldn't be surprised if the 300 beat the 1,000. There are a lot of good men who have believed in their philosophies, and they are willing to die for their philosophies. And because of their preparedness, they achieve a lot in influencing society and nations even. Long ago, although communism has basically fell, long ago when the communist movement was like an in thing and trying and almost taking over nation after nation, and back home in Asia, I mean, we faced those things too, the communist insurgency. But one of the things that the communists boast when they came against the capitalists is this. He says, we are willing to die for what we believe. Well, the capitalists, you know, they're only wanting to die for luxury. And in luxury. And in the end, the failure of the communist system is primarily because of imperfection of the human heart. Because when the communists became the state, you got the same thing. It's almost like communist capitalism all over again, where they have a small group, you know, dominating the poor. If Russia was not impoverished, it would still remain communist. It's because the good things never came down right to the small people on the streets, so they still had inequality. That's why in China, communism is still entrenched. Because somehow it's gone right down to the people coming in the street. And, you know, and of course, they rule it with a hard hand. But you need a certain amount of discontent to overcome communism. Well, let's not go into that topic. But primarily, we're talking about people willing to die for their philosophy. What about the people like Mahatma Gandhi? Although he was not a Christian, he could influence an entire nation because he was willing to die for his beliefs. People like Nelson Mandela was prepared to die and be imprisoned, at least, for what he believed. So if you look at the convictions that people had, for philosophies, for things that they believe in, and they could achieve much, how much more when we have the true and the living God, the true and the living Word, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And true enough, Christianity does have its heroes too. There have been Christians willing to die for their faith.